WPPZ, Jenkintown, Philadelphia, home of the Yolanda Adams Morning Show. Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a wonderful good morning to you. Welcome back to the program. We are now in the second hour. Today is also Penn Relays. Penn Relays this weekend. We welcome all of those from out of town getting ready for the races, the high school, college, and professional levels. We thank you.
I'm running this year.
You what? You're running your
I'm
mouth?
I'm, okay. No, I'm
all
running.
All right. Right. Okay. That voice you heard was friend to the show, Maurice Graves. He is joining us this morning, as well as some student and adult representatives of the Philadelphia Student Union Youth-Led Organization. I'd like to reintroduce you, the listener, to them, Colleen, Candace, and Erica. Again, welcome back to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Hi.
All right. I posed the question to the audience right before the break, and I want to give you a chance to respond. The question is, are you active in your community to help affect change, or are you just sitting back watching things happen and complaining about it? Give us a call and be honest. Be honest with yourself this morning. Purge that thing out of your spirit if you need to, and just talk about it so maybe you can make a change for yourself and your community today. 215-263-1039. We have Sharon calling in from North Philadelphia. Sharon, good morning and welcome to Praise in the City. You're live on the air.
Thank you, and blessed morning to you.
Yes, thank you so
and
much.
And your guests, thank you very much for having them on.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of them.
Awesome.
Are they all young people?
Yes, and Erica, she's not in high school, but she's a young woman, too.
That's all right. She's still a young woman, and thank you very much for having them on.
Yes.
And I praise God and Spirit to help me to keep your station on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I'm definitely listening, but I am doing something in my community because I'm a walking encyclopedia of resources.
Nice.
So whenever someone needs help, they come. They always say, go to Miss Sissy, she can help you. And they come. And I love it because I help them whatever they need, and God gives me the praise because they thank you. And that's all the praise I need.
I know that.
But I wanted to say that I understand where the young lady is coming from, because there's a lot of things or a lot of entities that's causing the problem that we're having. Mm-hmm. And what she's saying, far as the parents getting involved, far as the students and getting what they need, it may take a little bit of while, but be patient, and we're going to keep praying on it, because I go to some of the meetings at the school board, and a lot of it, 99% of the time, it's the same people.
Okay.
The people that really need to come out, the parents that really need to come out, they don't come out. And the whole bottom line is, there's no communication in a home. There's no constructive criticism in a home. Mm-hmm. There's no quality time spent in a home. So the kids are looking at us as adults. So we have to set the example, because we don't know who's looking at us. We don't know who's listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to allow our children to grow and to grow gracefully, we have to act accordingly.
All right.
And I'm very proud of them, and I'm going to keep doing my part, because I'm in school for computer software, and I mainly want to learn it to teach the small children and anyone who's interested in learning, a child or adult.
Okay.
Because playtime is over.
I know that's right. Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you for sharing that with us. And
you're welcome. And everyone, please have a blessed day.
Yes, you
well.
Do the same.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
If you have a comment, please feel free to give us a call. 215-263-1039. Be honest about your situation. Are you doing something to help the community, or do you just sit back and say, oh, there's nothing I can do, one person can't do anything, but you have plenty to complain about? Be honest about your situation. Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Cindy is calling in from North Philly. A lot of North Philly folks up listening to Praise this morning. That's what I'm talking about. Cindy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Good morning to your guests as well.
Good morning.
I work for the school district, and I'm a cafeteria worker.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go into our computer to see what kind of information is in there, we have a lot of information from Mrs. Ackerman that's encouraging parents to come out to meetings. Mm-hmm. But if these letters are not going out to the homes, it's just going into the computer for the principals or the secretaries or whoever see them in there to print them out and send them out to the parents, then they don't. A lot of parents don't know about the meetings that they have concerning the children's education, concerning meetings for the community, because a lot of the schools don't send them letters through. But my concern is that if the school district itself would get these letters out to the parents, then the parents would know about these meetings, because a lot of the meetings are about the children's education that they want to start getting better with. It's about community meetings. A lot of the information is about behavior in school. It's everything that's concerning the school students. And I call my children and I ask them, do you all know about the meeting that's going on down at the school district where any parent, anybody can attend? And they say no. So if they don't know, then I know a lot of parents can't know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for calling in and for posing your question and for saying your piece. And thank you for listening to us at Praise in the City.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me. Have a blessed day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have D. King calling in from South Jersey. Good morning. Welcome to Praise in the City. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you? My name is D. Last King, and I am a board member in my community.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And as a board member, what are some of the things you guys do to help your community?
To help our community, we, the board members, help the community by making sure that the superintendent does his part and his goals and objectives for the school. That's what the board does. And awesome. His goals and objectives are for the children of the school to pass the state test, to make sure the curriculum is moving our children forward.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for listening to us at Praise in the City.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. You can call, too, 215-263-1039, the number to reach us in studio. We have our in-studio guests from the Philadelphia Student Union Youth-Led Organization. Maurice Graves is here. Maurice, I know you had a couple of questions that you wanted to ask our panelists this morning.
Sure. I was just looking over some of the highlights of the Imagine 2014 plan. I understand it's to be stretched out over 5 years, but in this first year, they were looking to implement at least 44 initiatives and programs. One of which was they wanted to increase the number of teachers that are presently teaching in the Philadelphia School District. They wanted to hire about 367 more teachers, which would cost maybe in the area of $32.5 million. They're looking to spend. My question is, if any issues with hiring, what are they? Because the idea behind this is that it will provide a least restrictive environment for some of the students in the classroom. It will reduce the sizes of classrooms, which we could all agree are out of control right now. I think there are about like 35 students in your average classrooms, depending on the school. But that will lower them to about 23 students or 18 to 23 students per classroom. My question is, are there any issues that the Philadelphia Student Union has concerning the hiring of teachers?
All right. Let's start with Khalif.
Sure. I'm all for the hiring of teachers. I feel like Philadelphia actually needs more teachers. But what the discussion also needs to be is, one, where are those teachers going to go? Because in some schools, you have like a nice student to teacher ratio. We're looking at around 20 to 25 students, per teacher. But you also have to look at other schools, such as West Philadelphia High School, and look at their core subjects, such as English, math, and sciences, and look at the sizes of those classrooms. Mm-hmm. And another discussion might be, we have a lot of good teachers in Philadelphia. We have to look at the distribution of those teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a cluster of teachers at your magnet schools, I want to say, like such as your Masterminds, your Bodines, your schools where, I want to say, the resources go too often. But again, you look at your West Philadelphia high schools, you have a lot of teachers turnover ratings, you have a lot of new teachers coming in, not a lot of time for them relationships to be built. Mm-hmm. That what's made me so good. Like, I'm good with my friends and my family because we had that time to grow together. Mm-hmm. So people that grow together often stay together. That makes me want to become more engaged with my learning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, bring in the teachers, but also we need to be a discussion about getting those teachers to the schools that needs them the most.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Candace.
Okay, go ahead, Candace. And then I had a second part to that question. Go ahead.
And I would say not only that, like, you need to, like, realize, like, they don't hire teachers early enough. Mm-hmm. Like, because a lot of teachers are trying to work at these hard-to-staff schools, but because the school district takes too long to, you know, let them know if they're hired or not, they go somewhere else. Like, they go to Upper Darby. They go to Yeaton. They don't come to Philly. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about grow your own. And if you want to grow your own, you got to, like, speed up the hiring process. Mm-hmm. Because they're not going to come back if you're not going to hire them. You have to let them know. Mm-hmm. We know personally, you know, one-on-one, Erica's sister tried to work in Philly. Mm-hmm. She doesn't work in Philly because she didn't get the job. Or she got the job.
She got called in too late.
She got called in too late.
She already had another job.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Second part of the question. Of those 367 teachers that the school board or school reform commission is looking to hire, if you were in a place where you could hire teachers, what would that look like? Would you hire teachers where they culturally commensurate with your student body? What are the requirements? What do you look for in a teacher?
That's actually a great point. I'm actually great that you asked that. Currently at West Philadelphia High School, I spoke previously on some of the things that we're trying to do. And one of those things that we push for that should be given to comprehensive schools, all schools in general, is site selection. Mm-hmm. And when this is done correctly, it's done a year before. This is when you hire your principal and your teachers. So what happens is, again, you have this community comes together, students, previous teachers that were at the school.
Parents.
And parents, of course. They come together and they say, okay, what do we want this school to look like? Do we want this school to be a trade school where you come in and work on business, automotive and things to that nature? Or do we want this school to work on a broad education type thing where your science list and your English is? And once that's established, then this community and this board of people, I would call it, comes together and decide, okay, so what type of teachers do we need to fill these vacancies coming in? Mm-hmm. And this is things that could be easily provided if the district would come in and provide it to the schools that need it the most. So if ran effectively, we can potentially have a great school, again, that's providing the education for who needed the most, the students. That's what education was meant to serve.
All right. Awesome. Candace, you have a reply for that?
You know, I'm kind of looking for teachers who, like, who are engaged and, like, love what they do. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't love what you do, you're not going to be a good teacher. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get your students engaged. And that's what most of us need. Like, we need to be involved in class. Mm-hmm. And when we're not involved in class, we fall off. Mm-hmm. I know in most of my classes, I feel like I'm not learning anything. My teacher isn't engaging me. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. But in some of my other classes, I'm like, yeah, I know this. I'm going to do this. This is how we do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm proud of that. I love my teachers who are, like, really engaged. And at Sarah, we have a lot of first year teachers, a lot of new teachers. We have mm-hmm. a high teacher turnover rate. Mm-hmm. And it's upsetting because I had a whole lot of teachers last year who I really loved and like, mm-hmm. like, I miss these teachers because they aren't here anymore. They wanted to go do other things because they weren't getting what they need. Right. They didn't have supplies, support. Mm. They couldn't do their job.
Mm. And may I add also?
Yes.
There also needs to be support for these teachers coming in. Mm-hmm. We can't just hope that bringing in teachers will resolve the problem of teacher equity and quality within the classroom. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some support, and one of those support can be a common planning time, mm-hmm. which is when once during a week, it's a way that you roster your classroom so teachers have a time to come in and sit down and have discussions on what's working in some classrooms and what's not working. Mm-hmm. Let's say if a student named Timmy had a problem mm-hmm. and Timmy was acting up in a math class and because he wasn't getting the work. But over in his English class, his teacher, Miss Smith, came up with a way to put Timmy on the right track mm-hmm. that he can run over to the other teacher and be like, yeah, this is what you do for Timmy. This is the additional supports that Timmy needs. Mm-hmm. And also when you're a teacher, I mean, it's hard on the teachers.
Yes.
Because teaching, I'm sorry that your paycheck may say from 8 to 3 or 4 p.m., but that's a 24/7 job. Mm-hmm. And when you have a dedicated teacher, then that actually becomes that, a 24/7 job. Mm-hmm. That means you're there in the morning,
not only helping teach students that are struggling and getting them on the right track, but you're also there on call whenever you need them. Yeah. And in a way, you become a second parent. And a lot of times that don't happen.
Right. All right. It's good to hear all this from the students when we as adults often talk, you know, about you all, but we often don't get to hear from you all. So that's really, really good. Thank you for sharing that. If you're just listening, if you're just tuning in, this is Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM, your inspiration station. And we're talking about education. We're talking about Imagine 2014. And we're talking about building our community. Our community has been a wreck for a while, but there are still bright spots, even in the midst of all the negativity we hear. Mm-hmm. We do know that there are people who are out there trying to put it together, trying to make it work and keep it clicking. So are you that person? Do you have issues and you just don't step up? You don't know how to step up, where to step up, or why you should step up and be a part of your community? You can share your thoughts with us this morning. 215-263-1039. You can also share your thoughts about education. If you work in education, you have children to be educated, or you just have some questions because you're going to soon be a parent, you can just call us and give us your comments. Again, the number 215-263-1039. We have Teresa calling in from Lansdowne, PA. Good morning, Teresa. You're live on the air.
Good morning. My name is, I have a question, honestly. Well, two questions. I have a seventh grader, 13 years old, and she's in the Upper Darby School District. Mm-hmm. Apparently, within the last month, the teachers has contacted me to tell me that she's been, you know, her grades are slipping, mm-hmm. and she needs help. So, you know, I'm the parent I'm supposed to be, right. and I'm stepping up. I'm making sure she does what she has to do. But my daughter, I guess right now, she has that failure to educate, I guess, right now, because she's worried about what she looks like in school, mm-hmm. you know, not asking questions because she thinks she's going to look like a dummy or and things of that nature.
Okay.
So I have a meeting with the teacher, the counselors, when all her teachers actually yesterday, and they're telling me she's failing math and language arts. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, okay, well, what can we do? Apparently she's already failed math for the year. And language arts, they're telling me she has to get a B or something to that effect to pass. Mm. I'm like, okay, well, how come somebody didn't come to me earlier?
Right.
But for what? Well, my question is, they're telling me with two failures on her report card, they're going to pass her anyway.
Mm.
They're going. No, this is what they're. This in Pennsylvania, apparently, with this no child behind law, they're going to pass her anyway. I'm explaining. She obviously didn't master what she was supposed to master mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me, well, when next year she's going to be in a lower math class and a lower language arts class, or I can send her to summer school, which they're promoting this summer school where over here in Delaware County it's $100 a class. Mm-hmm. I told them I'm not paying $200 for a class, for summer school where she went for free for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair. They're going to pass her anyway, and I asked them, as a parent, can I hold her back? Well, it's going to be a lot of administrative red tape, blah, blah, blah. I don't think she mastered it.
Wow.
And I want her to stay back, but they're going to push her up anyway.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if anybody on the panel can answer that. Erica, do you have any idea? And that's the first I've heard of that. And that's awesome. If you want to make sure that your daughter has the education that she has, that she's mastered that class and should move forward, you know, can a parent say, no, she belongs back in the 10th grade. She shouldn't get promoted because she didn't do this. She doesn't know this. She doesn't have this.
I actually do not know the answer to that. I mean, my assumption would be that you would be able to, as a parent, make that decision. I actually live close to the Upper Darby District, so I don't know. What I do know about No Child Left Behind is that it is set up in a way that it says No Child Left Behind, but we know that so many children are being left behind.
Right.
If we talk about the dropout rate in Philly alone, we're talking about 50%. We do a lot of study actually inside a student union around No Child Left Behind and what the implications of that have been. to our communities, to our society, how it's opened the doors for private companies to move in, and has kind of set up our communities to fail. I would challenge it. As a parent, I would challenge it. I would talk to the administrator, go to the superintendent if you need to, go to the board. That's what we do as student union. I mean, there's always somebody higher to go to. You know, you keep on fighting till you get something done.
I will, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I know when I was younger and you didn't pass a grade, you were back in that grade the same year, the next year. And this is what they're telling me. I heard it from the guidance counselor and the teachers yesterday. I'm like, what do you mean? What does that mean? So you're just passing a kid and wonder if you don't get in touch with the parents. And the parents don't know what's going on. Or honestly, the parents don't care. And you're passing these kids anyway. And it doesn't make any sense. We have these kids out here that don't know anything, but you keep on passing them anyway.
All right. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you for hearing me. Thank you.
No problem. And I wish you the best of luck. And if you don't mind, next time we do an education program, give us an update and tell us what happened. Because I'm sure there's some other parents who'd like to do the same thing.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
All right.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Don't forget to give us a call too. 526-3-1039. We're going to return with more conversation with our Philadelphia Student Union youth-led organization members and, of course, with your comments and questions right after this.
Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And a great good morning to you again. Happy Saturday. Get outside. Enjoy this weather. Penn Relays are today. What a great family outing. A lot of people are heading down to the University of Penn, and it should be a wonderful, wonderful event. So much love to all of the athletes in the city of Philadelphia for the first time or just returning from a long time away from us. We welcome you.
I'm running.
He's running his mouth. That's Maurice Graves, friend to the show. Before the break, we had a caller who was calling in from Lansdowne, PA, and she had a very, very poignant question about what to do with her child who is being pushed forward, even though the child has failed a couple of classes. And we weren't effectively able to answer, you know, if. And her question was, you know, can she, as the parent, hold her back? Ask the administration of the school the child attends. No, put her back in the grade she was just in because she didn't get everything she needed to out of that year and she needs to repeat. And we weren't able to give her the answer, but I do believe we have someone who can help her out on the phone. Beatrice is calling in from Upper Darby. Good morning, Beatrice. You are live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in. What do you say to our previous caller?
I was calling because I just went through this last year with my son. They had called me and my husband in for a meeting, all the teachers, to tell me that my son was failing two classes, and at the time it was 125 per class for the summer courses. And I told them that I refused to pay for summer school for something that could have been controlled at the beginning of the year. None of the teachers bothered to call us or anything until the last minute and said, oh, yeah, well, you know, now he's failing and he has to go. I told them, if he has to fail, he has to fail. I want him left back. And they were really surprised that I was saying that. And I said, aren't you going to worry about peer pressure, the same kids seeing him left behind? And I told them I didn't care. And they said the same thing to me. It's a lot of red tape. And I said, well, whatever kind of tape we got to go through, we have to go through. And I didn't pay for summer school. And at the end, I got a letter stating that they had originally failed him because, not because of his grades, but because of his behavior. And they passed him anyway. And my suggestion to the last caller is if she decides to, you know, get her child left back and they end up not doing it, the system is really set up badly because, number one, a lot of the teachers don't call you. So as a parent, you have to take it upon yourself to be informed about everything that your child does. So this year what happened was my son did pass to the eighth grade. What happened was I was at the school all the time. I needed to know what was going on, what was happening. I went to the teachers. I said, listen, call me, email me. If he's failing, let me know. Let's take care of the situation now so it doesn't happen. That note, I don't really agree with the No Child Left Behind law, because even though they're passing the kids up and they're sending them to the next grade, mentally they're being left behind. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you get up into high school, you can't catch up that far.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that's where the kids get drop out, because they get so frustrated because right. they can no longer handle the work that's being put, because they've been pushed and pushed and pushed up to that, you know, grade. Mm-hmm. So I advise her to push. As a parent, she has that right to have her child left back. Mm-hmm. They can't tell her, no, you can't do that.
Right.
So whatever red tape she has to go through, if that's how she feels, because that's exactly what I said. Well, if he's failing, you know, then mm-hmm. he's going to be left back, and he's going to learn that lesson next time, you know, whatever the case may be, you're going right. to do your work to be where you need to be. So
Beatrice,
I advise her to do what she needs to do in order for her child to get the proper education that she needs.
Okay. Beatrice, I have a quick question for you, and I should have asked this to our previous caller, but I forgot to. Do you get interim report cards that give you an indicator of what's going on? I know at the school where I work, we do. We do send out interim reports, and you have 4 quarters in the year, so you have a chance to fix it at the first quarter, at the second quarter, by the third quarter. If it's, you know, if it's been bad the first 2 quarters, it's mm-hmm. probably going to be bad the third, and you can forget about it in the fourth. But do you get those interim reports, and can't you tell then? Wouldn't that raise an alarm to you then, if it looks like, my child has an F first and second quarter, let me call, what's going on?
I'm glad you asked that. Honestly, it's a difference when you're in middle school and high school. In high school, my daughter that's in high school, they mail them to us. In middle school, they give it to the kids to give to you. Mm-hmm. And last year, what happened was, of course, with my son seeing that he had bad grades,
mm-hmm.
and how would we know what they're giving to the kids? So I never got one till it was too late. And it was like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, we send them every they have this thing called the Wednesday folder, where all the kids get folders mm-hmm. to be brought home and signed.
Okay.
Well, the teacher never called and said, hey, you know, I never received a yellow folder. I thought they stopped giving them, honestly. I thought it was just something for the beginning of the, you know, semester, and then it just stopped until they were like, no, we send it every week. And, you know,
okay.
So, yeah, they're giving them to the kids. But they're not, but the kids don't give them to the parents. But what I have noticed this year is that they, like, I've actually gotten phone calls, recorded messages. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents might hear the school calling and they hang up.
Yes.
I always say, listen to the messages when they're coming from the school, because this year they've actually started telling you about early dismissals, late starts, and they tell you, hey, we've sent these interim reports to your mm-hmm. With your child. Please make sure you get them and you sign them and bring
right.
them back.
Right.
So it is a big, I mean, from what I went through last year and this year, it is a big change. And, mm-hmm. you know, so we do know now that they get them, because they do them through mm-hmm. a recording.
Awesome. Beatrice, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Praise in the City.
You have a blessed one.
All right, you do the same. If you have a comment or a question, please feel free to give us a call, 215-263-1039. Back to our in-studio guests. We have representatives from the Philadelphia Student Union Youth-Led Organization, and friend to the show, Maurice Graves, are joining us again. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome. Good morning.
First, I want to say it's been really, really awesome hearing from our youth leaders here, because they are so articulate. They're so knowledgeable about what
indeed.
They're talking about.
Indeed.
And it's great to see. It's really, really great to see. We often have negative pictures of your age group. And it's good to see that you guys are taking that active role and try to pass it on, you know, to other people. So just tell me, on a personal note, lady and gentlemen, has this experience being a part of the student union encouraged you to, I don't know, take leadership roles when you're thinking about college or after school, that, you know, you won't just play the back, so to speak? Let's start with Candace.
Okay, well, with my experience in student union, it has encouraged me, like, to become a teacher. So I'm going to college for English.
Awesome.
And I'm going to be attending Bloomsburg University.
Okay.
And
very good. Yes.
I start in August, and you know, I feel like, you know, I grew up in this community. I'm going to come back and I'm going to teach for this community.
Good.
Like, I'm going to let people know, like, I've been through it. It's nothing new. Mm-hmm. I was a part of the change, you know, and I want you to be a part of the change. I want to encourage my students to, you know, like, be a part of, like, what's going on. Be a part of the community. Be a part of your school life. Do things. Because, you know, like, the more you get out there, the more you know. The more you know, the more you're encouraged, the better your experience.
Very nice. Very good. I love it. Okay, Kali.
As far as being a leader, I felt like everybody's a leader in their own way, whether you know it or not. Like, everything, I feel like every action has a reaction in a lot of ways. It's all about how you define that. So, like, just being in the Philadelphia Student Union, I walk around with a critical eye a lot of the time. So a lot of things I might have just looked at is, like, a lot of internalized oppression coming from myself before realizing what it was. Like, I walk around and see some of the things in my neighborhood. I'm like, oh, wow, that's what's going on. I never look at it like, oh, wow, this is how the system has set up to fail a particular group of people. So, I mean, me just wanting to go back to, like, my community after I come out from whatever I'm doing, I'm absolutely sure I'm coming back to my community because it all starts there. Right. And a lot of the things you see within my community is poverty. That's where it started. That's the root of a lot of things. It's all about money and a dollar a lot of times.
Right.
So when you have, like, money being tied into schools, then there's a problem. School is always, like, separate from that. When you have public becoming private and private situations coming into a public school district, that's a lot of things that you don't need. That's something you never want. So, I mean, me being a leader, I'm a poverty scholar now, so I visited specific parts of America that's the most impoverished, and I'm meeting up with, like, just people like Willie Baptist, who was a homeless man, and organized homeless people within New York and Philadelphia, and still doing that.
Wow.
And then I went down to people in West Virginia called DOG and Team Dogs. DOG standing for Domestic Workers Alliance or something. Direct acting welfare groups, two different people. I'm sorry, Team Dog, if you're listening in West Virginia. But
right.
West Virginia is the second most impoverished states other than Mississippi. When you go into West Virginia, you see a lot of industrial things such as coal, actually exporting their coal. I mean, exporting the coal and, like, taking the money along with them. So it's a lot of shady things being going on in Philadelphia and, like, throughout America. And it's all about a dollar, so... I mean, me being a leader, I just know I need to, one, educate people, but also educate myself in a lot of ways.
So how do your peers see you all? Your peers who may get in trouble, who may not be as gung-ho about the things you're gung-ho about, how do they see you, and have you affected any change on them?
Oh, wow. So, again, like, the transition in high school was pretty rough for me. So the first group I actually started out with was... I want to say that was one of the students that's often forgot about. So, like, and a lot of times when you're coming into high school, that first 2 months is what is, like, used as a reference to label that student. Like, oh, this student's not going to be here for that long. And I actually heard several people say that. Or this group, oh, this, make sure he gets this additional support to make sure he makes it. So just a good thing for me, like, I joined Student Union when I did. But even with joining Student Union now, and I still see several of my peers in the neighborhood because, like, some of them didn't make it through the school. So, I mean, it hurts me a lot. But a lot of times it just makes you sit down and want to count your blessings and what happened to you, like. I feel like I'm here for a reason. I'm in Student Union for a reason. And a lot of things that happen to me only makes me stronger in a lot of ways. So, I mean, my peers, I actually have some students that look up to me and come to me for, like, not even on a personal level, but on an intellectual level, and actually hold conversation with me. I was talking about the SRC meetings that I'm talking about. And I'm on the radio today. I actually had a few friends call me. It's like, why are you on the radio? I want to be like that. So, in a lot of ways, it's very inspiring to me.
Awesome. Candace, how about you?
In my case, it's not really my peers that see me as different because, you know, like, a lot of people, like, don't really, like, dwell into what I do. But it's a lot of my teachers. A lot of my teachers, like, really see what I'm doing. And they're like, wow, Student Union, like, you're out there. Like, I see you. I respect it. And I like that. Like, a lot of these new teachers are, like, coming into my school, learning about Student Union. And they're like, I'm supporting it, like, all the way. I love it. And, like, I feel like, you know, like that's really encouraging. And, you know, like, they talk to other students about Student Union. And people like, Student Union, Student Union is known in my school. My principal know, look, everybody know. That's what I say. They know who we are. They know what we do. We're strong.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Thank you so much. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. Call in with your comments and questions. 215-263-1039. May is calling in from Brookhaven, Pennsylvania. May, good morning. Welcome to Praise in the City. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Good.
I was calling in this morning because I was listening to the last caller concerning the children in the grade.
Yes.
And, that was my problem this year with this middle school my son is in.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to, and when they send home the notices for a parent-teachers conference, unfortunately, parents who work have to incorporate that into their schedule because the teachers no longer make it convenient for parents to mm-hmm. get there. Mm-hmm. They have it from 12:30 in the afternoon till 5 p.m.
Most
parents, if you're working, you're at work.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take a day off or lose time from work to come in to have a parent-teachers conference. Mm-hmm. Which I found out, unfortunately, in the second quarter when I went in, my son was missing 7 assignments.
Mm.
Which I thought, okay, did you not contact me? Because I have, you have my cell phone, my home known, my work number. You have every phone number. I never got a phone call from you. Mm. Nor did I get a letter. Mm. Nor did I get a progress report to say he's failing or he's not failing. But when I get there, you want to tell me how nice this child is.
Mm.
I raised him to be nice. I raised him to be respectful. I raised him to do his work. However, if he's missing something mm. and you're not notifying me, 7 assignments, he's passing your class with a B, I find that hard to believe.
Mm.
Mm. You should have notified me on the first, okay, he didn't bring the first one, and you give him time to do it. And the teacher, all his explanation was, well, that's why I'm having you sign this paper today, that it's okay to call you. Now, that was in February. It's now April. I've yet to get a phone call.
Mm.
And I ask my son every day, do you have homework? No. Did you do your homework? I don't have homework in that class. Yet the teacher tells me they have homework every day. Mm. And then you call the school and you go to a teacher's voicemail. They don't return your phone calls. I don't understand why. When you say, you can call me up until 11 o'clock at night, I don't care. Just call
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get phone calls. I don't know what to do. And if you go to the principal or the school board meeting, it's, okay, you know, we'll look into that. We're going to get on that. And no one ever gets back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating as a parent because you want your child to do well. You're encouraging them to get their stuff done. You're checking their work. But when the teachers aren't getting back to you, I can't go to school with them. I have to work. So I don't know how to communicate any further to the school district as a whole or the teachers or the principal in that school. Listen, this teacher is not communicating with me.
And May, let me just ask you really quick, what school is this? Do you mind?
This is Chester Upland School District. Okay. It's Main Street Elementary.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm out there. I drop my son off every morning at school. So I'm like, where's your teacher? Oh, he's not in yet. Okay. Well, I can't spend my time waiting for him to come in either. I have to go to work.
Right. Okay. All right, May, thank you so much for sharing your concern and voicing your opinion this morning. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening to us here on Praise 103.9.
Thank you. You have a blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Bye-bye. All right. We also have Deaconess Michelle calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed.
Good, good.
How
good.
Are you?
Breathing on schedule, thank you.
Oh, great, great.
Okay, what's your comment or question?
Yes, I would like to first talk about and encourage and say how proud I am of the two wonderful representatives of our studenthood these days.
Yes,
and how wonderful it is that not only are the teachers proud, but the students have someone close to them to look up to, not just totally removed into another age bracket, but it's someone closer. So that's a positive, positive thing. And how the young man was saying that he's seen some things that we have right here in our states and we don't know about until we go out there and actually touch bases with the fact that when the coal goes out, the money goes right out the same society with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we learn by just being able to be put in positions, putting ourselves in positions like that, so we are able to see what's actually going on at the grassroots.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to comment about is to piggyback on the ladies that called about their students, their children, that are being passed forward without gaining the knowledge that they were supposed to get in the grade that they just attended.
Mm.
When I was I went to school between the 60s and the 70s. I came out of high school in the 70s. Well, back between the elementary level and when we went into, okay, I was back there when they had, like, grades that were A, split up between A and B. And when they transitioned out of the A part, so you attend, like, 6A, and then the next semester you'd attend 6B. So when they transitioned out of that and phased that out, they sent you to summer school to get you to bridge that gap. So, you know, so you would be able to fit into the next grade that would just be a combination of the A section and the B section. So
I'm sorry, Deaconess, I don't mean to interrupt you. We are running really, really tight on time, and I wanted to get to a couple more things with our youth. If you could just get to that, to the crux of that.
The point is that they've been trying to sort of phase us into things that are leaving us, physically leaving us back. And they stopped reaching back and leaving back students that didn't get it since back in the 60s. And it's continuing on, and we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent to not let them continue to push us forward, because what it does, it eventually creates functional, non-functional illiterate.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, for sharing your insight and putting some clarity to that, because I was not unaware that it's been going on since the 60s as well. All right. Thank you so much, and
thank
have
you.
An awesome day. Thank you for listening.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Our guest in studio, we're getting close to the end of the show. Before we allow you to close out, Maurice, I want you to, you know, I know you have like maybe one last thing you want to say to them or ask them. I would like to ask Erica, who brought our young people here this morning, watching them, what does that do for you, being the assistant director, when you see your students come in and you see them speak so well and transform, or if there was any transformation, if there was, you know, what does that do for you? How does that make you feel?
It inspires me every day. It amazes me. I'm never surprised when I see them come out and speak like this. They put a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of dedication into the work that we do. They put a lot of study in. They see the value, the importance of this work. It's beyond just this. It's actually about building movements. It's actually about creating change in Philly, in the world. And they're ready to take that on, you know? I think that a lot of the times we idolize our past activists, organizers, like King, like X, even like Barack Obama. And sometimes when it's happening in your very own backyard, it's just not as respected. And what upsets me is that when people say, oh, these are the leaders of tomorrow. No, these are the leaders of today.
Right.
They're leading us today. They're at the very front of it all. And they're taking the brunt of it. And the community needs to step right behind them and realize that what they do is valuable and it's important. Have I seen a change? Yes. Yeah.
And you should see, I wish this were television right now, because her face is beaming with pride. And it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. Erica, thank you for that. Maurice, final question of the morning. What do you have to say to our panelists?
It's more so just a question of concern. I'm looking at some reports about the SRC plan. Imagine 2014, and I'm looking at the fact that it is so well supported by political officials, and I understand that many of them were in attendance that night. My question, if any, to Candace or Khalif or whoever wanted to answer, why do you think this plan is so championed by the political system in this city?
I can directly answer that. I'm pretty sure if people was like, always on the news and whatever, when they try to shut down the libraries, we, as soon as they said libraries are being shut down, we jump right on it along with community members. Like, you cannot shut down libraries. This is not only a place where students go, but where the community goes. And a lot of times when there are budget cuts in Philadelphia, the first thing to go is something that's like valuable to the community. So when we started to do statistical data and like research on it, it turns out a lot of the places where the libraries were being shut down were not only impoverished, but
the quote-unquote up-and-coming neighborhoods, mm-hmm. which we are quite sure that gentrified neighborhoods.
Right. Gentrification.
So when now it's politically is supported in a lot of ways because now they were trying to shut down schools and do a lot of things to schools that were in these same exact areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you see a lot of times when politicians start to throw their hands into public business,
it's just money.
Times, it's all about money a lot mm-hmm. of times. So when you start to see schools start to be shut down and mm-hmm. you start to see libraries being targeted, and then 2 years later, we look at a condo go up and like, oh, what happened? Mm-hmm. We have to, again, walk around with that critical eye because there is danger in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we as students, mm-hmm. we just try to make sure we
the
see
darkness.
That.
Yeah,
I see it as, you know, they think education is business. Mm-hmm. And my quote is, my mind is not worth any money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worth a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my education is priceless. I'm doing, right now, you're paying for my education. The city is paying for my education.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take that money away. Mm-hmm. Give it back. Give mm-hmm. more. My school needs the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I see it as like they're taking more money away from schools
mm-hmm.
to build up something, like to build up a neighborhood.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes we know that in those neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
What's really being done is that those new schools that are being built or being shut down, it's not meant for the people that are there.
It's not. Mm-hmm.
It's meant to push people out.
It's meant for the people who are going to be working
right.
there.
Mm-hmm. And then more and more people are displaced and mm-hmm. moved to the peripheral. So
right.
those are the people out. That we fight for.
All right. Awesome. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a very empowering program. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us.
Our young people are just so wonderful. Thank you, Khalid, Candace, Erica. Thank you so much, Maurice. We have about a minute left, so I want to give each of you 10 seconds. So that's 40 seconds. 10 seconds for your final thoughts. Things you want people who are listening to know and remember. We'll start with Erica on the end.
www.phillystudentunion.org. You can donate anything that you have to us. We have lots of programs for young people, high school survival, men's and women's group, our own radio show, our youth produced video programs, do our own produced newsletter, and then we have a fundraiser coming up on June 3rd. So please visit our website, please donate, and back these students, back us. We're doing the right thing.
Thank you. Khalid.
The School District of Philadelphia holds SRC meetings every month. I would strongly encourage you to go out. If you want to be involved in your child's education, a lot of the time it takes that extra drive and that extra push. So this is one of the ways you can get involved. Also, the Philadelphia Student Union, if you would like to hear more from us, again, you can visit the website, which is Philly Students at PhiladelphiaStudentUnion.org, or you can come to our fundraiser, which is June 3rd at the West Philadelphia Enterprise Center, right off of 46th and Market.
All right. Awesome. Candace.
Education is power, and I just want you to know, like, if you want to be a part of it, be a part of it. Don't be afraid. Like, get out there.
Mm.
And if you want to come visit us, our office on 5011 Baltimore Avenue, you know, right in the middle of West Philly. We're here for you. We're going to support you. You need our help. We're here.
Awesome. Definitely. Maurice.
I just want to say that I am godly proud of what I'm seeing today. My heart is just very, very proud. It seems as though someone has done a great job in engendering a culture that believes that the only difference between the haves and have-nots is opportunity. And these young people are seizing the opportunity. So I'm godly proud of you. And that's it.
All right. As am I. Thank you all for coming up. Much love to you. Much love to you for listening. And again, and of course, and every week, much love to my producer, Red Chris, for always doing an amazing job because he's the one in the back keeping it running. Thank you so much. All right. We got to bounce out of here. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Marriage Beyond the Vows is up next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive one. Bye-bye.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
To hear the next Praise in the City podcast or to hear more from Praise in the City, log on to praise1039.com or mediafire.com/praiseinthecity.